He would not, and he foolishly thought he could not confess. He was in great anguish, and it tortured his whole spirit, soul, and body. He would not confess because of the humiliation and the shame. He had betrayed his God. He had denied his faith. If he were to confess, what future for the woman? What future for the child? Surely he would be stoned, and there would be no godly man to succeed. There may even be civil war again. And when David, my dear brothers and sisters, reflects on these dark and desperate, painful days, he says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." So turn with me now to the second book of Samuel and chapter 12. And we see the graciousness of the Lord. In 2 Samuel 11, we have all the sordid and horrific details of the events that David caused to flow. And I've recounted to you the agony that he, for the best part of 9 months, went through. And there was no solution. But we see the grace of our God in the opening words of chapter 12. "And the Lord sent Nathan." Now he could have left David, but the Lord sent Nathan unto David. "And he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him as and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveller." And I pause there, brothers and sisters, because in the folly of David, it is but a traveller. It's not resident in the man. It is but a traveller. But it's fitting for the story, and it has to be a traveller for the story, of course. And so there came a traveller unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." And so here it is now, brothers and sisters. It's all out in the open now. It's all public now. But David is blessed that his confession is before Nathan, who was sent of the Lord. He's blessed in that Nathan, on behalf of the Lord, stands between him and being stoned for murder and adultery. Now, he's now blessed that Nathan, on behalf of the Almighty, has heard this confession. For we read in verse 13, I have sinned against the Lord. So we come to Psalm 51, my dear brothers and sisters. And whilst I've quoted just a little from Psalm 32, which is a reflection and a meditation upon those desperate times given later after the event, Psalm 51, it seems to me, was given straightway. That these are his thoughts on that very day. May not have been penned as we have them here, but these were the thoughts expressed by him as those words are expanded upon that we read there in 1 Samuel 12. He confessed there, but all this outpouring came forth too. But we have the title there, which is inspired, a Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he'd gone into Bathsheba. So we're told the context, and it's now at that point of confession that we see David saying, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. And so, knowing that his God is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, David prays unto his God, and he talks of his own transgression, iniquity and sin. For he knows that in every respect he has failed before the Lord. He's transgressed and he's acted as a rebellious one. He's rebelled against the word of the Lord. He's been iniquitous in that he's been perverse. There's depravity within him. And he's sinned. He's fallen so short of the mark. And so he confesses. And he prays that the Lord may blot out. That the Lord may wash. That the Lord may cleanse. So we come down to verse 7. He says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And it's interesting. He refers to hyssop there, brothers and sisters. And you see the character of the man. In truth, he's spiritual, brothers and sisters. They understand hyssop is just not just something he's just thought of as on a whim. It's thought out, brothers and sisters. He knows of hyssop. He knows that hyssop was there and the sacrifice for leprosy. Leprosy, that deadly disease where someone was dying upon his feet, the flesh rotted upon his bone. If anything typified sin, disease and his mortality, it was leprosy. But in the cleansing of the leper was hyssop. Likewise with the red heifer, when one had touched that which was unclean, that of a dead bone with an animal or beast, had to go without the camp, and it was through the red heifer he was able eventually to come back into the camp, except of the Lord, have fellowship with those of God again. And hyssop is there in that sacrifice. And he knows, brothers and sisters, it's there with the Passover lamb. It's to do with being free from bondage, the slavery, not only of Egypt, but of sin. So purge me with hyssop. For he was a leper. He was without the camp. He was enchained. Purge me, he says. And in verse 11 we read David crying, cast me not away from my presence. Don't cast me forth like Cain of old. Don't cast me forth like unto him. Leave no mark upon me. He says also, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, as the Lord did from Saul. And from that time forth, Saul was a man lost indeed. Don't take thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, restore unto me, he cries, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit, or with the breath of life, brethren and sisters. It's as fundamental as that. He's not deserving of life at all, but he says, restore and give me joy of salvation. Make me live now and for the morrow. Restore unto me the joy of salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. And in verse 5 and 6, brothers and sisters, he says, having made full confession, and all the blame is his, nevertheless he speaks the truth, and we all understand this, brothers and sisters, we all understand this. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It's the nature that we bear from the days of Adam. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And there it lies, brothers and sisters. We are born, as David was born, shapen in iniquity. But the solution is to be changed in the inward parts. That's what's pleasing unto the Lord. Truth in the inward man. It's to have that wisdom and to manifest that wisdom that gives glory unto our God. And so he prays that the Lord would bless him. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Now verses 16 to 17, brothers and sisters. This is true as a principle in general, universal. But when we think of David in particular and the situation that he's found himself in, what a truth it is for him personally. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not, delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. Thou desirest not sacrifice. There is no sacrifice for adultery. There is no sacrifice for murder. There is no sacrifice even for guile, of which he'd been full of. There is no sacrifice. But he can give before his Lord and present unto him a broken and a contrite heart. And this is the man who lays himself bare before his Maker. No more pretense. Open confession. Falling upon his grace. And so, what's the relevance for us, brothers and sisters? I'd like to think by this stage it's self-evident, but let's come back to verse 4. For David says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And you think, not true, David. You know, what of Bathsheba's family, you know, Uriah, and all those that fell by Uriah? But fundamentally, it comes down to that point. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight. And then he makes this declaration that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And so he confesses that the Lord does that which is right. And that which he had just heard from Nathan was right. And that which he heard about those awful judgments to befall his household, he would accept, knowing that the Lord has been so gracious unto him in giving him life and reassurance and the covenants given unto him. But the relevance for us, brothers and sisters, is those words of verse 4, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest, is in the book of Romans. And so we turn now to the words of the apostle as he writes by the Spirit. And we come to Romans chapter 3. We read these words just a day or two ago. Just going to show you, remind you of the words of verse 4, chapter 3, as he makes the argument that all men are sinners before the Lord. He says, verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. And so he quotes the words of Psalm 51. So Psalm 51 applies to us now, brothers and sisters, doesn't it? Psalm 51 is now for us. We have to confess. Like David confessed, we must accept the will of the Lord and his judgments upon us as he shapes and moulds us and teaches us, changes that heart, makes that heart clean, gives us that wisdom, like unto the Lord our Saviour. So we come down to verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, being witnessed, brothers and sisters, by the likes of David, incredibly so. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus the Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we just pause there for a minute. Take those words of verse 23 fully in, brothers and sisters. All have sinned. We understand that. And we come short. Sadly, we recognise that. But what we're coming short of? We're coming short of the glory of God. It is wondrous, it's majestic, it is beautiful as that. The glory of God is for us. The glory of God is what David was aspiring unto. The glory of God is what he was trying to inculcate in his people. But we've been shaken in iniquity. And we know of our own rebellion, brothers and sisters. We know of our depravity. We know of our falling short. But thanks be to God. For we read on, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. And so we have the sacrifice, brothers and sisters, that taketh away the sin of the world. We have this redemption given unto us through Christ Jesus. All that's expected of us is to have a contrite and a broken spirit and a desire to be like unto him. And to, in humility, take on the word that we might be washed, that we might be purged, that we might be cleansed. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so we, like David now, put on the new man, which is in Christ Jesus, as we prayerfully read the word and we walk in faith. We are renewed after the image of him that created him. We put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave us, so also do we forgive him. And above all these things we put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. We let the peace of God rule in our hearts, to which we are called in one body. And we are thankful. We let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. Amen.
Our brother Jethan has brought us to the central port of our meeting together this morning.